created with free version for non-commercial use.
Welcome to Kansas Ag Report. I'm Ken Rogers. Here's what's coming up on today's program. We'll talk with Ken Wood, the president of the Kansas Association of Wheat Growers, and Kent Winter, who is the president of the Kansas Grain Sorghum Producers Association. Also, a growth strategy from the Kansas Department of Agriculture and Kansas Soybean Commission talks about filling some of those positions on their board. Plus, information from the Kansas Livestock Association and Paragon. Stay with us.
Closed captioning brought to you by
The Soybean Checkoff. Progress powered by Kansas farmers. KansasSoybeans.org.
Farm Bureau, a grassroots ag organization representing the state's farmers and ranchers since 1919. KFB.org.
Kansas Weed Commission, leaders in the adoption of profitable innovations for wheat. Online at kswheat.com.
Kansas Livestock Association, supporting our members' business interests to meet consumers' demands. KLA.org.
And we're joined now by Ken Wood, who is a farmer from Chapman and the president of the Kansas Association of Wheat Growers. Ken, I guess when we look at what's going on in wheat country, we need some moisture.
That's everybody's main concern right now. It's kind of hard to worry too much about everything else when you're wondering whether the crop's going to survive. We're really anxious to see what happens in the next month, see whether it greens up or not.
Well, you just got back, as most commodity groups go this time of the year, back into D.C. I know wheat growers have been involved from the get-go with this next farm bill, as you have in the past. Tell us about where those conversations went when you were back there.
Well, I was actually pretty encouraged about the progress on the farm bill. At that point, of course, since we came back, the president's budget came out, their proposal came out, and that sort of changes things a little, although I think the Farm Coalition maybe will be able to take care of that concerns. Our main concern is always crop insurance. We want to protect that. That's kind of the backbone of our risk management strategy, and so it's important to us.
Many folks have said the proposal, like many from an administration, was done on arrival. Chairman Roberts again has reiterated crop insurance is going to be part of a farm bill.
It's really nice having Senator Roberts as chairman of the Senate committee. He's been a champion for us, for our issues, and is, you know, staunch supporter of crop insurance. He understands what it means to us, so that's really been a big help to us.
Do you feel if we get some of these other side issues taken care of, we will have a farm bill done by the end of this year?
I'm hoping. They seem to think that they'll have some. They're working on the language now, and that they'll. I know they don't want to release it too soon. They like to be able to get it through in a pretty expeditious fashion. So I don't know when that will happen. From what I've heard, it sounds like it'll happen on the House side first, mm-hmm. before it does on the Senate side. But yeah, we're hoping that it'd be nice to have one done ahead of time rather than having the extensions right. Like we've had in the past.
We're here in Topeka with the annual Wake Up to Kansas breakfast intermingling with Kansas legislators. How important is that to have farm leaders work and be beside legislators to feed them a good Kansas breakfast?
I think it's kind of an important thing from the aspect that we need to know each other, and they need to be able to put a face and a name together, and it's good for us to be able to do the same thing. We want to be visible. We want to be in a position to where if they have a question about something, about how it's going to affect our business or our lives, that they know who to call. So from that standpoint, I think it's pretty important that we do these kind of things just to keep the communication open.
And it's good that we have farm leaders from all over the state of Kansas, because we have legislators from all over the state of Kansas.
That's exactly right.
Great.
That's the way the system is set up, and that's the way it works.
So. Ken, thanks for the update, and good luck.
You bet. Thank you, Ken.
Ken Wood, who is the president of the Kansas Association of Wheat Growers, has joined us. Stay with us. We'll have more coming up.
This segment brought to you by Kansas Livestock Association, supporting our members' business interests to meet consumers' demands. KLA.org. Oldie Seed Farms, carrying soil-specific seed. Find them on the web at oldeseed.com. That's OHLDE seed.com. Grass and Grain, online or in the mail, keeping Kansas farmers informed for over 60 years. GrassandGrain.com. Kansas Weed Commission, leaders in the adoption of profitable innovations for wheat. Online at kswheat.com.
Imagine having someone help you pick the best corn hybrids for every field on your farm. Your Oldie representative can combine your data with his data to offer a field-by-field prescription. Contact Oldie Seed today at 877-692-4555.
All over the country, more and more communities are making the change to biodiesel made from U.S. soybean oil. And the decision continues, improving the health and welfare for millions of Americans while adding billions to our national economy.
What does a brighter, more sustainable future look like in our cities and towns, and how do we get there? When New York needed an alternative fuel source to reduce carbon emissions, the city found what it needed in biodiesel made from U.S. soybean oil.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.
We're joined now by Kent Winter, who is president of the Kansas Grain Sorghum Producers Association. And Kent, we wanted to bring you in and talk about an issue that many sorghum farmers still kind of scratching their heads over. When that many days ago we woke up and all of a sudden, where'd the price go for our sorghum?
Well, it was a week ago this last Monday, Ken, where we woke up and discovered that over the weekend, China had implemented a countervailing duty and anti-dumping investigation against the U.S. grain sorghum producers from a grain sorghum that we were exporting into their country. So it was a huge shock. It was a gut punch. And we learned that overnight the grain sorghum values in Kansas had dropped 25%. Some places, including here in Topeka, over $1 a bushel. So we were on our way into D.C. with our annual fly-in, and when we arrived there, the National Sorghum Producers staff and board members were already hard at work trying to mitigate this and respond to this. But it's going to be a year-long process. It's going to be a long slog before we're out from underneath this thing.
Now, because there's a certain process that has to happen. This isn't just, I maybe thought it was something like, well, we could sit down and negotiate. But what they did, it's a big process that to work with the Chinese government to kind of get this solved.
It's going to be a long process that we don't have any control over. There's going to be short-term deadlines to meet in the upcoming days and months, but there's no way we can speed it up. We can respond to it and cooperate fully, but it has to play out its course.
Okay, so what does this mean for Kansas sorghum farmers?
Well, the first thing that I think of is we, over the last several years, had spent a lot of time and resources and manpower and shoe leather in China, working with their grain traders, working with their grain buyers, their livestock industry, and we showed them what grain sorghum could do for them. In the meantime, it's been a win-win. They've come in here and purchased a lot of grain sorghum the last few years, and they have fed it over there. It's also used in an alcohol industry situation that they have, and they love the product. We're hopeful that when these hiccups can be worked out, we can renew that relationship again with those folks.
Some are saying this is simply a matter of politics because of the solar panel situation. So is that what you think? Once again, farmers kind of got the short end?
Well, Ken, to be honest with you, we hesitate to comment much on that, but you know, you can look at what each side of the fence did. You can look at the timing and sort of draw your own conclusions, but we really hesitate to say anything that might potentially make that situation worse.
We're talking with Kent Winter, who is the president of the Kansas Grain Sorghum Producers Association. We'll take a break and be back with more coming up.
This segment brought to you by Farm Bureau, a grassroots ag organization representing the state's farmers and ranchers since 1919. KFB.org. Oldie Seed Farms, carrying soil-specific seed. Find them on the web at oldeseed.com. That's OHLDE seed.com. Grass and grain, online or in the mail. Keeping Kansas farmers informed for over 60 years. Grassandgrain.com. Kansas Wheat Commission, leaders in the adoption of profitable innovations for wheat. Online at kswheat.com.
We're joined by Kent Winter, who is the president of the Kansas Grain Circle Producers Association. He's a farmer from Mount Hope. Well, Kent, I think before too long, spring is going to finally arrive and the tractors are going to roll. And one of the questions I think that's out there is what happens? There's that ongoing battle, at least discussion around the coffee shop tables, is will acreage change and what would that mean for sorghum?
Well, there's a lot of things on our mind as we go forward this spring making our plans. My particular operation, I'm half wheat and the other half are in row crops that I rotate with wheat to enhance the yield and spread the risk and get some diversity into the mix. And one of the big things I'm looking at right now is the cash layout to get a crop in the ground this spring, and $12 an acre will do it for me to get grain sorghum in the ground on my farm, considerably different than some of the other options that I have.
Well, it looks like compared to corn, that looks great economics.
Well, the other thing that we're looking at now, we're in this drought situation, and sorghum allows me to wait longer to put that crop in the ground. My window for planting sorghum is actually last of all of the row crops. I'm looking at a late May or June situation, giving this weather situation a chance to turn around.
Well, that's probably a good idea. All right, let's also talk about one of the things that has been happening in sorghum recently is more emphasis on research.
Yes, that's big for us, and we're working with some of the legislators on the water plan issue going through the legislature right now. We'd like to get some more research funding for the Center for Sorghum Improvement over at the K-State University campus. It's always big. They're trying to look at ways to enhance yields, also looking at standability. They're looking at weed research. They're looking for ways to increase the demand for sorghum down the road, too.
Well, and it seems like a lot of that research is being done right here at K-State. We know A&M does an awful lot, but it's good to always have it in Kansas as well.
Absolutely. Kansas, again, this last year was the number one grain sorghum producing state in the country, and they've held that position many times over the years. Texas usually comes in number two.
All right, so as we move forward, what other, I guess if you have a chance to talk to farmers, make that pitch on why you should have sorghum as part of your rotation.
Well, a big thing on everybody's mind the last few years was the sugarcane aphid situation. We feel like that situation is getting better. It softened some last summer. Thanks to the good work of our extension people and also the seed companies, they have identified ways of identified the varieties that are showing tolerance to this, and I think that's helping that situation out tremendously.
All right, Kent, well, appreciate the opportunity to talk, get the update, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Kent.
Kent Winter, who is the president of the Kansas Grain Circle Producers Association, has joined us. We'll have more coming up.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.
Kansas Soybean Commission will conduct a regular meeting March 16 in Topeka. During it, the commissioners will fill both of the at-large positions on the commission. Any qualified soybean farmer can apply for them through February 28. To qualify, an applicant must be a Kansas resident, at least 18 years old, and engaged in growing soybeans within the last 3 years. As interested individuals are identified, the commission, to the best of its ability, will ensure the eventual appointees reflect the diversity of those its programs serve. That is in terms of farm size, experience, production methods, marketing strategies, and other distinguishing factors. The appointees will take their seats on the commission at the August 17 meeting and serve 3 years. The commissioners at large terms coincide with the election of the single commissioner for districts 1, 2, and 3 in the western third of the state. Volunteer soybean commissioners attend 3 commission meetings each year. They participate in conference calls between those meetings, and they represent their industry to others. The soybean checkoff reimburses them for the travel and other expenses related to their service. More information and the application are available at kansassoybeans.org/forms on the web or by calling the Kansas Soybean Office at 877-KS-SOYBEAN. That's 877-577-6923.
Kansas agriculture has been focused on growth for the last 2 years as leaders from throughout all sectors of agriculture have participated in the Agricultural Growth Strategy Project. The growth project has been coordinated by the Kansas Department of Agriculture with participation by more than 600 agricultural stakeholders. The Ag Growth Project began with discussions to identify the challenges and opportunities for growth within each agricultural sector, which led to the development of desired outcomes at the first Governor's Summit on Agricultural Growth in 2017. The next step was identifying specific action items to achieve those outcomes, and this was the primary focus of the second Ag Growth Summit in 2018. Those action items have now been compiled and integrated into the Ag Growth document and have been posted on KDA's website at agriculture.ks.gov/growag so that farmers, ranchers, and agribusinesses throughout the state can see how they can become involved in growing their own sector. What you'll find on that website is the full Ag Growth document with all 19 sectors, as well as each sector listed individually. This will serve as a guidance document for how private and public partners can work together to grow agriculture in Kansas. The action plans for each outcome were developed by industry partners at the summit and compiled by members of the KDA growth team, and these action plans will be used to track progress of the strategic growth project. Leaders from throughout Kansas agriculture continue working on these action items this spring, and we will meet again to focus on the progress of the Kansas Ag Growth Strategy at the next Ag Growth Summit on Thursday, August 23rd in Manhattan. Thank you for your investment in this project as we work together to grow Kansas agriculture.
This segment brought to you by Farm Bureau, a grassroots ag organization representing the state's farmers and ranchers since 1919. KFB.org. Oldie Seed Farms, carrying soil-specific seed. Find them on the web at oldieseed.com. That's OldieSeed.com. Grass and Grain, online or in the mail. Keeping Kansas farmers informed for over 60 years. GrassandGrain.com. Kansas Weed Commission, leaders in the adoption of profitable innovations for wheat. Online at kswheat.com.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.
What if U.S. soybean meal were more than a commodity? If seed companies and the soybean checkoff built a better variety. That future is here. The time is now. To meet end user demands, the soybean checkoff is investing in the compositional quality of soybeans, including meal. A message from the Kansas Soybean Commission, the Soybean Checkoff, progress powered by Kansas farmers.
You need a partner that you can count on to be there for your business. Providing a depth of understanding to risk management issues so you don't have to. A knowledgeable support team located in your area, delivering products and services to make you more successful.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.
Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture, represents grassroots agriculture. The state's largest and most powerful farm organization stands up for its members through leadership development, agriculture education, legal defense, environmental advocacy, farm safety, and risk management. Members also enjoy money-saving benefits. To join our organization today or to learn more, go to www.kfb.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter.
What does a brighter, more sustainable future look like in our cities and towns, and how do we get there? When New York needed an alternative fuel source to reduce carbon emissions, the city found what it needed in biodiesel made from U.S. soybean oil.
Imagine having someone help you pick the best corn hybrids for every field on your farm. Your Oldie representative can combine your data with his data to offer a field-by-field prescription. Contact Oldie Seed today at 877-692-4555.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.
A new study conducted by ag economists at Kansas State University and Oklahoma State University shows consumers are less sensitive to retail beef prices, making quality factors like taste, convenience, and freshness even more important in purchasing decisions. Results of the study, commissioned by the Beef Checkoff, were released at the Cattle Industry Convention earlier this month in Phoenix, Arizona. K-State ag economist Glenn Tonzer said the research updated elasticity estimates, or how sensitive purchasing behavior is to prices. Tonzer, along with Ted Schroeder from K-State and Jason Lusk from Oklahoma State, said while price still matters, a 1% increase has a smaller impact on beef consumption than in the past. In addition to price, study authors looked at other key determinants affecting beef demand in the long term. The list included beef quality, consumer incomes, beef's healthfulness image in the media, and shifts in race composition of the U.S. population. Based on the research, the economists made five key recommendations for the beef industry leaders to consider in making decisions about how to invest checkoff dollars to positively influence demand. The list included focusing on important beef quality issues to grow demand and making it a priority to regularly assess beef demand.
Good morning. I'm Derek Hermisch with Paragon Ag. The weather in South America has become a popular topic among U.S. farmers recently, as it does this time of year. Argentina specifically is experiencing some exceptionally dry conditions that is expected to reduce soybean and corn production. The February USDA supply and demand report posted February 8th reflected these cuts in production, and in the 10 days following the release of the February USDA report, we saw both of the nearby future contracts rally. However, corn only gained 2 cents, while soybeans rose 38 cents. No matter how much discussion you hear about corn production in South America, the adverse weather impacts don't have near the same effect as weather does in the U.S. when it comes to market prices. Soybeans, however, are a different story. South America weather seems to be just as important these days as U.S. weather when you're talking about soybean prices. Anybody who's been around ag markets very long knows there is no way to effectively predict how high prices can go when you're in the throes of a weather market, seemingly reducing crop production potential by the month, week, and day. However, when the rally is over, those higher prices seem to disappear overnight. They don't disappear completely overnight, but it will feel that way if you don't have any priced or hedged on the way up and refuse to do anything on a down day. That is a handy piece of information to know about yourself when looking forward to how you will carry out the rest of your risk management plan for this year. I'm Derek Hermisch. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Well, that's this week's show. Thanks for watching. Be sure to be social with us by going online to KansasAgReport.net or find us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Ken Rogers. Thanks for watching.
Closed captioning brought to you by
The Soybean Checkoff. Progress powered by Kansas farmers. KansasSoybeans.org.
Farm Bureau, a grassroots ag organization representing the state's farmers and ranchers since 1919. KFB.org.
Kansas Weed Commission, leaders in the adoption of profitable innovations for wheat. Online at kswheat.com.
Kansas Livestock Association, supporting our members' business interests to meet consumers' demands. KLA.org.
What if U.S. soybean meal were more than a commodity? If seed companies and the soybean checkoff built a better variety? That future is here. The time is now. To meet end-user demands, the Soybean Checkoff is investing in the compositional quality of soybeans, including meal. A message from the Kansas Soybean Commission, the Soybean Checkoff, progress powered by Kansas farmers.
Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture, represents grassroots agriculture. The state's largest and most powerful farm organization stands up for its members through leadership development, agriculture education, legal defense, environmental advocacy, farm safety, and risk management. Members also enjoy money-saving benefits. To join our organization today or to learn more, go to www.kfb.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter.
The producer-funded Kansas Wheat Innovation Center was built to get improved varieties into the hands of farmers faster. Kansas Wheat, farmers advancing their future through wheat genetics research.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.